हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे
Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 4 Adhikarna 1 Description of Goloka, the eternal abode of Krishna. Page 19. Lord Krishna manifests his own form in Mathura and Dwarka. He enjoys pastimes in various ways by expanding into the quadruple forms. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha are the primary quadruple forms, from whom all other quadruple forms are manifested. They are all purely transcendental. Only in these three places, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, does the all-sporting Lord perform his endless pastimes with his personal associates. In the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky, the Lord manifests his identity as Narayana and performs pastimes in various ways. Krishna's own form has only two hands, but in the form of Lord Narayana, he has four hands. Lord Narayana holds a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. The Sri, Bhu, and Nila energies serve at his lotus feet. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 5:23-28. Oh, that's what we've been. All these are from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or just we had big purports in between.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, it would be like, let us say the man's in his house, and then how he deals it. Let's say he's very pleasant, humorous, congenial, like that in the house. But then let's say he goes out, let's say we like you have a high court judge, he goes out to his place of work. Then he's known as being very sober, you know, very, fair, straightforward. You know, like that. So, but it's the same person. So then you can make the point that, at home, it means how he behaves at home, he never behaves out of the home like that. Does that make sense? So that's what we're dealing with, because Krishna moves in these three. Goloka, planet, then that's Krishna moving through there. But it's just the flavor, according to the devotees, is then what's being manifest. Right? It's not. It changes as a person. That's sometimes it's overemphasized. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, after the Dashamu, him being the Lord of all the energies, it's easier to understand. Some energies he put out, and some he withholds.
Yes.
So it's the same person.
Yes.
But as you explained, you know, certain energy out. That's how he deals. We know only that part of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then those who are withhold in a different situation, they are out. So that's what it is.
Yes, yes. Yes, also I would say it would be probably for... It depends on the kind of like the cultural background you're used to on how this will be more understandable or more easy to understand or not. I mean, it's of course Krishna's revelation. But you have a context which to go with. Because I've noticed, let's say, if you're dealing, like, let's say, with someone from America, generally it's because that kind of openness and honesty is a very primary quality that people kind of function on and go on, and, you know, because of that, you know, the being themselves and everything. So you very quickly get to know everything about the person if you have a relationship. You know, everything that they know or can do, you know in a very short time. Or let's say if you cross the pond and are in England, you might be years and you never knew that this guy, let's say, like, spoke French or, you know, knew, you know, how to drive or something. You just, because they'll only discuss how much is relevant to the situation. It's not that they're withholding. It's just, why would you push onto the situation your own qualities and abilities when they're not actually required to be known in that position? You know, so slight different cultural things. So I would think it would be much easier for, you know, the kind of the, you know, European, Asian, those kind of scenes that you would, does that make sense? That it would be easier to, the concept, whether you could realize it or not, the concept that same person, but the different moods, and so you just don't see them. Just like I was always amazed when I'd see, I think I mentioned it before, you have kind of those who are, you know, from Russia, who are physically very big. You know, I don't know if it's just they're from Siberia or if it's just in general you have them all over, but they're really big and can be extremely sober to the point where they're kind of like passively
aggressive.
Yeah, just passively aggressive or passively scary. But the same guy, I've seen it many, many cases, when he's with those, like the little kids, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, he's just like a huge bear, you know, just, you know, a big cuddly teddy bear, you know, just there for the kids and that. But if anybody else comes along, you see the other side. But it's very interesting that, because otherwise you'd never see that. You could deal with them all day, every day, you'd never see that. It's only when there's little kids. Then they take on this, you know, this really, you know, they do everything for them. It's kind of like the you know, they're like grand, especially like their grandkids, kids also, but especially grandkids. You know, it's just like they're so. What's the thread? It's like those little kids are completely incapable of doing anything. Mm-hmm. They'll do everything for them. And you know, there's a nice rapport between the grandchild, the grandparent, like that. They do everything like that. But that same little grandchild, when he grows up, he's one of those heavy, tough, you know, Russian guys that you just don't even look at, let alone, you know, mess with, you know. So like that, you see, is there's this, you get that, you know. You know, just like also the husband and wife in the home will deal in one way, especially when they're in private. And then when they're not just family, there'll be a little bit more joking, laughing. But when they go out, it's very formal in traditional cultures. Yeah. You just don't see. But like an American, it's how they are at home. They have to be when they're out. And everybody has to, you know, it's like the more transparent you are, the more it's considered cultured. It's considered culture. Like, if you didn't tell them that you knew French, they would consider, oh, you don't, I'm not a friend. You don't tell me everything. Well, in Europe, it would be, oh, wow, there's something more. And he's so humble. He never, you know, it's only the occasion came up. They happened to, you know, take the train across for a day in Paris for something like that. And they were somewhere. And how do we get that? And then the guy starts speaking French to the locals to figure out what's going on. And they're going, what? You know, and say, oh, yeah, no, because we used to come here every summer for vacation for 3 months, so, you know, so then he speaks fluent French. So you would consider it like an ornament. Does that make sense? So it's a different kind of cultural thing.
Yeah.
So even though it's conditioning, it doesn't specifically have to have any effect at all. But depending on how much we identify with it, and that, it can have a bit of an effect. You know, like a shadow and that. But with time, as chanting and these things, then these things will go away. So just because it seems, why I'm just bringing it up, because it always seems to be that real point. You know, you say, oh, you know, and they're meeting in Kurukshetra, the Brajbasis, and like, oh, no, but that's not Brajakrishna. It's going, what has that got to do with anything? You know, it's like it has to be made, and no, it's a different Krishna. No, it's not a different Krishna. It's the same Krishna. It's just in that environment, he doesn't, like you said, manifest all the different opulences and all that. So they're making as it's a different person when he goes out. He's a completely different person that leaves. But no, it's the same person. Otherwise, why does he worry about what's going on in Vrindavan? You know, but it's that you won't see. In other words, Krishna, you know, Braja Krishna doesn't take one step out of Vrindavan, means that mood that you see there, that sweetness, you won't see it outside of Vrindavan. You just won't. But it doesn't mean that those from there, when they meet him outside, the formal environment that others in Dwarka and Mathura very much appreciate, and it, for them it becomes the natural, you know, and comfortable, environment in which they express their love and devotion to Krishna. For the Brajbasis, it's too formal. It doesn't have that sweetness and everything. So that's why then they always want to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Rath Yatra is taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. You know, there's always that hope he'll come, so he even goes back after killing Dantavakra. You know, and all those different things like that. So there's always that element of taking back to Vrindavan. And that's why you see they don't go there, because you could say, well, why don't you go there? You still can't express. Because when they go to Kurukshetra, they have to deal in that. You know, they're with the relatives, you have to deal in that formal way and everything. You know, it's just like when you have a huge family gathering, all the relatives and everything are there. You have to be more sober and more everything. You can't relax as much. You know, you might get a little time with one or two that you really know you can laugh, but that's only on a side, on your own. You can't when you're with everybody. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why then they're always just saying, you know, I would like to go back to that. You know, therefore the famous verse that Lord Chaitanya would say from Radharani on that occasion was just like to go back to that place. Is that, yeah? It has now been proven that, according to the logic of whatever abode the Lord exists below, of the Lord, whatever abode of the Lord exists, oh, below in this world exists above in the spiritual world. Krishna's abodes of Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula exist above all others as the places of pastimes to Swayam Bhagavan, the highest form. Vrindavan or Gokula, existing as the highest place, is well known as Goloka. And so it's well known as Goloka, it's also known as Gokula. We tend to go Goloka is there, Gokula is here. But no, the place is Gokula, they're non-different. So Gokula there and Gokula here are the same. But it's also because of the planet, then it's known as Goloka. It's a place of cows. So there's, you know, there's so many cows there. Like in Vaikuntha, not that they don't necessarily have cows, but you don't, it's not one of the features that it talks about. And it talks about the gates and the palaces and the gardens, the opulence, the airplanes, you know, the beauty of all the residents there. It doesn't talk about cows. But Goloka means it's full of cows.
Yeah. Actually, when we first arrived to India, I was shocked that in Delhi, like in the center, you know, the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are cows. I was thinking, and I didn't realize why it doesn't match. But now I understand. Chaos means village.
Right.
Forest.
Right.
And city means, like you describe, you know, gardens, you know, opulence, parks, fountain, you know,
yeah,
the whole thing. But chaos, so yeah, just doesn't match.
You have to have a separate area and it's out of the way. So only the cows are there. Yeah, well, in the village, the area of the cows is also the area of the people.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, but in the city, if you have, you know, maybe it's like in Dwarka, they have goshalas and all that, but they'll be out of the way. The abode of Krishna, called Gokula, is the supreme abode. It is the center, pericarp, of a lotus with 1,000 petals, and it is situated, is sustained by a portion of the spiritual energy of Baladeva called Ananta. Brahma Samhita 5.2. Udriti, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Okay, so now we get into all the Brahma Samhita.
Yes.
Yes, very far out. When we're going through various areas of the works, then there's a certain place in a different scripture where that's being described in great detail.
Yeah.
You know.
Yesterday, actually, I looked for this verse in my phone, and then in the evening I read it again because that was the topic. But now we're gonna go into details. So.
Yeah. The transcendental entity of Baladev has two aspects, namely. Oh, really? They put a comma after namely. Period and a comma. Infinite spiritual manifestation and infinite accommodating space for insentient gross things. Right? Because from him everything is accommodated. So the all-accommodating potency then works under him. You know, so everything is means. So the jnana and kriya shaktis, they're both within him. Right? So the manifestation. And then the spiritual manifestations, you know, the different devotees and all the different activities and everything like that. And the other will be the situations of all that and the space that accommodates all that. So,
So
the jnana and kriya aspects, he takes control of. Because even though you can say is that kriya, I mean the jnana then is Mahanarayan, but you don't see Mahanarayan in Vrindavan. You know?
Yeah.
So therefore he's taking care, though it's done as his aspect is Sankarsana. The uniquadrantal ekapad. Uniquadrantal means you have a quadrantal, means it's four, but the uniquadrantal, one of the four, the ekapad. And so the fun part is uniquadrantal, that's English. But then so you know what he's talking about, then in brackets is put the Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Or you put, but I'm just saying that because otherwise, you know, normally you'd have to put, you know, English something that, you know.
This actually is very exact. When you have both two, then it makes perfect sense. Because sometimes English doesn't express, I mean, most of the times, what's Sanskrit. But then Sanskrit, because it's not my language, I can read it. But both, then it makes
then you kind of get
good sense.
Okay, you can get from both of them something.
Yeah,
okay.
Between the two, then I understand more or less what it is.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Oh, therefore in the square brackets. Okay. Okay. The uniquadrantal ekapad delineation of material universe will be dealt with in the proper place. The triquadrantal tripada, extensions of the transcendental infinitary field of the Almighty, unlamenting, non-perishing, and non-apprehending, unlimited situations of halo, which are fully spiritual majestic foliation. This very majestical extension portray, I would expect that if you spoke like this, even with big academics now in a day, some would catch most of it, but some would, there would be a few words they wouldn't.
Is this how Brahman expressed this? Is it about Brahman?
He said the quadrantal means the three. The three part portions of the spiritual world, like extensions of the transcendental infinitary field, means the unlimited transcendental reality. Of the Almighty, you know, of Krishna, unlamenting, you know, it means that there's no misery, Vaikuntha, non-perishing, it's eternal, non-apprehending means can't be approached by anybody else or anybody can understand it. Unlimited situations means it's not limited like the material world of halo, of that transcendental effulgence, which are fully spiritual, majestic foliation means the just that manifestation. You know, it's like flowers, you know, the lotus, you know. It's foliated, means it's all, you know, nice leaves, it's nicely filled out. It's just like, each word is so exact because, you know, the story goes that when he decided to learn English, he just took a dictionary. So, and that most likely was the Oxford Dictionary, and it most likely wasn't a pocket Oxford Dictionary. It would have been, you know, the regular kind of collegiate dictionary. studied that for 3 months, and then after 3 months he spoke like this. You know, he didn't start off me market go, you me go. He didn't start like that. He started like this. Because if you know Sanskrit, you know the things because he would have read what the adjective like that, so he would have done, and then he just puts it together. And each word is exactly what he wants to say. So English can be quite exact. But unfortunately, it's not used that way. It's used more as an art. You know, so people just kind of, you know, there's a feeling, you know, it's kind of like dogs barking or something like that. You know, there's different mood on how you bark. This very majestical extension portrays the manifested lofty rich feature of the vaster unlimited region or greater atmosphere, which has this resplendent location wholly beyond the realm of mundane nature. On the further shore of Viraja, surrounded by the halo of Brahman or indistinguishable entity. This majestical power of, you know, so, yeah, that is clear. This majestical power of unlimited spirit emanates on the upper portion of the luminous sphere into the most charming Gokula or eternally existing Goloka, exceedingly beautiful by the assorted display of effulgence. Some designate this region as the abode of the Supreme Narayana, or the original fountainhead. Hence, Gokula, which is identical with Goloka, is the supreme plane. The same sphere shines as Goloka and Gokula respectively by its upper or transcendental and lower or mundane situation. Brahma Sahita 5.2 purport. So this is generally where the calling of upper as Goloka and lower as Gokula comes from. Devotees mostly know it from here. So it is correct because that's how it's being mentioned. But you see is that also then the Acharyas refer to Braja as Gokula in Goloka. And so you have, so then there'll be Braja, I mean there'll be Gokula, and then the rest of the planet is Goloka. That's one way of doing to distinguish. Right? You know, or it's Goloka. You know, it's the center, and then everything else expands. Since they're all expansions of Vrindavan for the support of the Vrindavan pastimes, so it's not in that way also incorrect to call Vrindavan Goloka, and then everything else will be expanded from there. Then you'll say Dwarka, right? So it'll be Goloka, there'll be Dwarka, Mathura, like this.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, well, in the verse it mentions Gokula Kema Badam.
So. Yes.
It is what it is.
Yes.
Explained.
Yes, because they're the same. So just so that we get an idea, because if we say Gokula in the upper way and Gokula in the lower, we won't catch. But you say like this, then we start to become familiar. So this is Brahma Samhita. Oh, he's just quoting from Brahma Samhita.
Yeah.
The pericarp of the lotus is a great yantra with 6 points and a diamond centerpiece. The 6 parts of the mantra are placed on the 6 points of the yantra. The yantra is accompanied by Prakriti, deity of the yantra, and Purusha, deity of the mantra. Oh, that's interesting. Deity of the yantra, deity of the mantra. Because you have the yantra, and then the points of the mantra are on the yantra. Okay. This yantra produces a variety of rasas of great bliss arising from prema. The yantra is also endowed with the Kama Bija, a self-revealing, non-material mantra. Brahma Samhita 5.3 Udriti Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The manifestations of the non-manifestive pastimes of Krishna with regard to the conditioned souls are twofold, namely, one, worship through the channel of the mantras inaudibly recited, liberating, self-dedicatory, and transcendental. We need a comma after dedicatory. No.
Yes, Maharaj.
Transcendental sounds. 2. Spontaneous outflow of heart spiritual love for Krishna. Right. So. The manifestations of the non-manifestive pastimes. So manifestations of aprakat lila means as prakat. the Rakat Lila of the apricot pastimes. Then, regards to the conditioned souls, then you have the channels that you're using the mantras, right? And then that's applied within the sadhana so that there's regulations, because just by chanting you can perfect yourself. But for us, because of the lack of the transcendental goodness, and then at the same time also generally a lack of even material goodness, then the regulative form of the Pancharatra then gives the perfect environment in which then we can chant the mantra. Right, so the Hare Krishna mantra is not dependent upon that. So even if you don't have a proper environment or regulation, you'll still get an effect. Though, the more you deal in the proper way, the greater the effect starts to become. Not because of the ritual, but because one starts to pay more attention and become more aware and more focused. Because of our conditioning, we're affected by the environment.
Yeah.
Right? But the other mantras, they all, if you're not situated in goodness, then they don't really work. And the better you're situated, the better they work. And if you're transcendentally situated, then they work at their natural state. But if in passion and ignorance, they don't work. That's why then there's a gap between the first initiation and the second, is to bring one to that platform. So that's why the Prabhupada mentioned that the natural form of getting receiving second initiation is one that has that commitment, that one's not interested in any other form of self-realization than the pure devotional process. One's not interested in karma and jnana and all that. So you've come to that point, then you're fixed. So then the natural state of somebody with second initiation is going to be nishta.
Yeah.
That would be the natural form, as Prabhupada gave. And we see that was before us, because to start the process, it's been divided into two, so that you can start to get the benefit, right? But previously, it would just be, they would just be in the ashram chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the guru, and following the instructions. And this way, when they got to that point where they would be anishta, then they would get initiated. So first and second went together. But nowadays, without that extra support, it just doesn't. People aren't that serious.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second, the spontaneous outflow of heart's spiritual love for Krishna. So then you have the vaidhi, and then the rag. Yes.
These are named in later mantropasanamaya and swarasiki.
Ah. Okay.
So, and also the difference between both of them is also stated.
Yeah, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati talking.
No, Jiva Goswami.
He's
discussing perfect and imperfect lila.
Oh, okay.
So by mantra upasana, the past times are not manifested in full. Only a part of past time, like that is what manifests. And Swarasiki is more advanced, where the whole past time as it is manifest to devotee.
That's interesting. So in other words, as one advances and one becomes more absorbed in the Lord and His, name, form, qualities, past self, all that, then mantra upasana means the first one. Then that a portion of the pastime will be. So that which is relevant to the person they're seeing, just a particular thing happening or a particular mood or a particular activity, that part will be manifest. But everything connected with that won't. That'll be in the swarasiki.
Yeah.
Because then that spontaneous, then one is seeing the whole broadness of that. But that basically would be, you would have to be at an advanced level for that. You'd have to be in the, I don't know if that manifests within bhava or only a prema.
That's not mentioned.
It's not mentioned. So, because you do have the aspect of, as was mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was mentioning, that when rati, or the one's attraction to the Lord, then comes to the point where you qualify to take part in the pastimes, that's called prema. So it must be before that you're taking part in a particular aspect of the pastimes, in apandasa. You know, that you've qualified that your focus on Krishna is enough that you can take part in the pastimes. But how much of it appears that it's going to be something less. Does that make sense? Either one is here through meditation, you're only seeing a certain aspect, you know, connected with what you're doing. Or if one is there physically, then it would be taking part in that, what's dealing with you, but that's all that you know about. But the point is it's so ecstatic, it doesn't, you're not, how you say it? It's not a weakness. It's just that by that, then that constant association with the eternal associates and performing whatever it is that your connection with, then it comes to the point where then you have that exclusiveness and that focus that you can be naturally then part of the whole thing. You know, it'd be like the difference of, let's say, you could say between the two, inside the room looking out the window, you know, into the garden or whatever's happening outside. And so you'll see certain things. And then the other would be you're outside in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So it's not that you're not part of the thing, because there's always this thing, oh, if it's not all, then it's nothing. You know, so this kind of mundane approach where, you know, I'm the center of the universe, and so if I'm not getting what I want in full, how I want it, when I want it, where I want it, you know, like that, then, you know, I'm not game, as if anything in the material world is. It's like, okay, what about money? Go for it. Say, I want $1 billion. It's got to be here right now. And that, does it happen? You know, I want lasagna, like that. Is it right there now? You know? So, you know, it's like that. You know, I want a, you know, the latest, you know, stretch Maybach, you know. It's not there. But somehow another spiritual life has got to be like that. Just, you know, there it is. You know, so that's where that's the cheating propensity. And that's where then we get cheated. Okay. Sri Jiva Goswami has said that worship through the mantra is possible permanently in the proper place when confined to one pastime. Oh, this is what he's talking about here. It said that worship through the mantra is possible permanently in the proper place when confined to one pastime. So there's going to be one pastime you're always absorbed in. Like that. This meditative manifestation of Goloka is the pastime attended with the worship of Krishna through the mantra. Again, the pastimes that are performed in different places and in different moods are autocratic in diverse ways, hence Svarasaki, i.e. spontaneous outflow of heart's spiritual love for Krishna. Right? So then, through the mantra like that, then it's going to be that a certain pastime is always there, and a certain, because the point is with Krishna, then being ever fresh, that one pastime is every time it's ever fresh. Is eternally going on. So Krishna is, performing a pastime, you know, here in the Prakat Lila. Then as soon as it's finished, it's manifesting in the next universe. As soon as it's finished, in the next universe. So that means, and the devotees are there. Mother Jashoda is there, the cowherd boys and all that are there, the whole thing. Let's say, like, you know. And so it's ever fresh. And they're doing it again and again and again and again. Unlimitedly. He says unlimited universes, so it's unlimitedly going on. So there's not a problem that one is focusing on one pastime so nicely. And you see, when you learn something, you function on one thing. You know, there's the idea you kind of learn a little bit of everything and all that, but then it's not necessarily going to take you very far. It gives you a general idea, but at some point you have to get serious and focus. But it's like in music, they'll start off, you start with one raga, and you just learn that raga. When you fully learn that raga, you know all the aspects. Then that same understanding you can apply to the next raga, but just it has its uniqueness. But if you haven't learned everything in one, you can't actually understand the others. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So here in the mantra, and then the mantra upasana?
Mantra upasana mai.
Okay. Eventually we'll get it. Then And there, you're focusing on one pastime that, you know, one's attracted to and all that. And then the different features of Krishna and the gopis and the cowherd boys and whatever is there in Vrindavan. So everything surrounding that scene, then you'll see all that. But different scenes, different moods, different places, different, that you won't be part of. That'll be the Swarasiki. So it'll be a more developed, that spontaneous platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why somebody's thinking, I'll think of this and I'll think of that. It doesn't work. What is the natural that you think of, then focus on that.
Might be a bit premature.
Might be. I mean,
We know not only Gaudiyas, they practice Astakala Lila meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Others also, at least as far as I know, the Nimbarkas do that.
May, but it'll be different from what the Gaudiyas are, because as you mentioned before, for the Nimbarkas, Radha and Krishna are always together. So it's like worshipping the deity. There is never, they go here, they go there. It's just, at this time of the day, they're in this kunja, and at that time they go to here, and at another time they go over there. So they don't have that it's a different form of, you know, it's like here for the deities, you could say this, the eight times of the day, you're taking the 24 hours and dividing it into eight parts, you know, of 3 hours each.
Yes.
And so then, in that way, then what would be going on? You know, at this time there'd be, you know, this boga, and at that time it would be that, and this time they would do this, and this time they would sit here and do that. So it'd be very nice and very sweet and all that. But it'll still have that somewhat regulation. You'll notice the regulation. Because it's part of their, you know, it's part of their necessity of, because they're not dealing in Braj, so they're dealing in lower Goloka, which is ruled by majesty. So they're just on the farthest edge as you can get of majesty to where sweetness is.
Yeah.
Like that. So they'll be farther, closer than Mathura. Right? And so then, yeah, and so then they're dealing with Vrindavan pastimes, but they'll have a little bit of that sense of opulence and all those kind of things. Because the kunjas there have names. We just talk about that there's, you know, maybe, but it's not a prominent thing for us.
Yeah.
But there they have names, because that's always there. It always has its setup. It always has all those things. So now they decide to go here, and then they go to there. And so there'll be a bit of a spontaneous element, because they discuss spontaneous devotional service, but it'll be spontaneous within that context of without separation. So the degree of spontaneity will be much tighter, more close.
Mm-hmm.
With that. So just so it's understood, is it's not exactly everybody's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please continue.
No, that was my question, because...
Yes, but the point is what are they thinking of in there? Okay, in there you're thinking of what do you call it? Waking up Radha and Krishna, going in, discussing, you know, like that. Then they come out, then all the gopis come, there's the Mangal Aarti. Then, you know, they're informed that it's time to go. You know, but they're not going, so then, you know, Vrinda has to make a trick, or Purnimasa has to make a trick that, you know, Jatila is coming, and so then they all run off.
Right.
That's one aspect. Every day they're doing that. How it unfolds every day, that you don't see. You only see that one. Because it's a very nice one. It's a very unique, just like, let us say we're cooking. And in cooking, the techniques are there, and let's say I'm applying it to a particular subject, right? Now, within that, I can apply the techniques and the spicing that matches with it and all those kind of things in a huge variety of ways. Let's say, you know, cauliflower. I can make, let's say, 100 preparations. But now, out of that, a few of them will be really outstanding. You know, they catch the attention more. You know, just because of the form of it and everything like that. So then, that then itself will be, you know, what's presented to us. You know, it's just like, every cuisine has its, you know, festival preparations, or special preparations, and then they have their daily food.
Yeah.
And the daily food is actually really simple. Real simple, not overly strong in spices and everything like that. Hence, achar. Right? If it's a wedding and they make all the preparations, you don't need achar with those preparations. Yeah. But a daily food, people eat, but then some who can't handle that, it's just, you know, doesn't have, you know, so much, then there's achar. You know, so they cook really simple. Right? Seven things. But the thing is that for someone who's from that, the taste is there. They like that. So we can appreciate, a certain preparation. Like in South Indian people know, you know, idli, dosa, vadas, sambar. Anybody cares about rasam if they're not from there? No. You know? And then, you know, very esoteric things like, you know, uttapams, I can relate. Anybody cares, can relate to an adai? You know what adai is?
No.
It's like an uttapam, but it's made out of really coarsely ground dal.
Oh, okay.
So it's a really serious...
It's like hard.
A little bit more firm than that. It's got the taste of the dal and all that more.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, you're going to go out and, you know, lift the car, you know, or something like that. Eat a stack of adai, you know.
And also there are other things. I mean, it's called in Karnataka as water dosa, but actually it's made of rice powder.
Rice powder, okay.
So it has a completely different taste.
Different, yeah, it'll have that little bit more rubbery kind of.
It never comes like plain. There are holes and.
Yeah, yeah. It's like here, they make, like, they may never seen it in Bengali, they make what's called a gola roti. It's a chapati. It means that'll be the Bengali roti. These others are all from north. But if you just take the maida, mix it with water, like a pancake, but there's no leavening in it, and it's made quite thin, so it'll be like a crepe.
Yeah.
You know, not a super thin, not a crispy one. But like that, and it'll again also have the holes and all that. You eat that like with alu dam or other things like that. But it's like there's so many things you don't hear about, right? So those that are in it, in the culture, they appreciate all this. But someone who's outside, they can appreciate only the really outstanding preps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the point is the pastimes are unlimited. So then the acharyas have brought out, you know, a few points here and there in the pastimes that we could appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it's just like demons are being killed every day in Vrindavan. Every day Kamsa sends a demon. But the really outstanding ones, you know, Agasura, Arista, and Keshi, and that, they're the ones that are narrated. You know, it just mentions that every day they're coming. Like that. So So that form we can easily meditate on. So they picked ones that will catch our attention and we can meditate upon them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that will be that aspect of the mantra upasana mahi. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it right. So that will be that aspect. And by chanting, then we can appreciate. But then with time, it's that you start to see, the path, like you see with the acharyas, they're sitting there and just chanting, and then they see all kinds of far out stuff. Does that make sense? So the different moods, different flavors, because that one pastime you can appreciate because of particular quality and like that. Like you see that when Lord Chaitanya went to South India, then he met, I think it was a Sri Rangam, that Brahmin who couldn't read, but he's sitting with Bhagavad Gita, you know, and you know, he could see that he was emotionally involved. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, what's going on? He explained. So he's talking about how Supreme Lord is, because of his affection for his devotee, has come and is his chariot driver, and that way reciprocates. So that one feature is what he's focusing on, and that, you know, because it itself is transcendental and unlimited in taste, he could every day think just on that one thing and be completely sustained. So it's not that it's less, but what it has to understand is means is that the swarasiki will be wider. So that's also how you'll see is that we saw with Gopu Kumar that when he was in Vaikuntha, certain individuals could only appreciate when the pastimes are working exactly as they're supposed to. There's anything different out of the ordinary, they can't relate to it. Well, the next level up can accommodate it, but you know, they don't necessarily appreciate it, but they don't, there's no negative feeling. So in other words, something different the one is uncomfortable with. The next one is okay with, but they're not, you know, it's just this kind of variety might happen. The third, the highest one, they can appreciate. But they have their own taste, but they can appreciate. Like, it's like somebody's totally into, let's say, durian, and they love eating durian. You can appreciate, wow, the guy really likes this stuff. And that's cool. Okay, yeah, he likes it. But not that you'd eat it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you do have that, you know, how much of that pastime and that you can appreciate even within. But, you know, we know that everybody's on the spontaneous platform that are involved in the pastimes. But others, and they're only seeing a certain particular part. You know, it's like we saw those gopis that when Krishna played the flute, they couldn't go on that night. They're absorbed in the household scene. But then when Krishna plays the flute, it's the most attractive and all that. We saw, you know, the descriptions of the flute and everything and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya was describing, then they naturally become attracted, but it's not exclusive. So until it becomes exclusive, then you can accommodate the array. But if it's not exclusive, then you're going to appreciate a certain thing. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you have some really good friends, then, you know, how you say, it's a good day, it's a bad day. You know, life goes on. But for some friends, or quite, you know, some that are there, acquaintances or friends, only when it's a certain mood they can relate, and when it turns into something else, they can't. You know, it's like, let's say, you know, you're having a bad day, then they have a relationship with you on that level. And when everything's all right, they don't deal. Or some people, it's the opposite. You know, only when it's happy and everything they can relate, and when things get a little bummed out, well, I gotta go. You know, you understand?
Yeah.
So that there's going to be different flavors and tastes and all that, then that's going to happen. And so then there's going to be the depth, because as it mentioned before, it's self-revealing. I guess.
Also, the Swarasiki pastimes are what Lord Krishna, he advises the gopis to meditate on when he's away through the Uttara Sandesh, and when he personally sees also them in Kurukshetra. So this aprakata category, it actually creates the union even when there is vipralamba. So this is like the highest manifestation, and as Jiva Goswami says, it's the greatest secret.
It's beyond the secret of all secrets.
And then this is revealed in different form to different people. Like, when these pastimes are stated, it is stated in, like, as a jnana kind of things.
Like, yeah, yeah, that's right. When Krishna.
Prana, and then.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the senses, and then prana is manifest like
that. That's true. Uddhava meets, or that, then they always talk, it probably always talks about I am everywhere, I am in everything, and all that. But then if you look at it from here, that means all things and all varieties and all moods, so you could appreciate the widest range of flavors.
And there,
wow. So that means that the two ends. So
yeah.
the Shantaras is appreciated on external form of what Krishna is talking about to the gopis, and the gopis then see it on the internally hidden form of it. This is when you put that, what do you call it? What did they call those? Those little things on the phone, you know, the little smiley face and all those.
Emojis.
Where you have the emoji where the guy sitting there in the upper half of his head looks like a mushroom cloud.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one. You've seen that one?
I'm not sure. The emoji? Did I see the emoji?
Yeah.
No, I saw the emojis, but I'm not sure if I saw the one that you...
No, that's not... Oh, yeah, okay. You know that emoji?
Yeah. Oh, I can say him.
Just to mock me?
No.
Okay, just say it.
Okay. I think it means that your mind is blown.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very far out. How it's not... Because we'll just take it always, it's this overlapping thing. The same thing is seen by two people. That's how gopis can be there with the Shantaras in the same pastime, one seeing a deeper aspect.
Yeah.
You said?
Maharaj,
hmm.
I would like to ask, because we chant those two mantras from Brahma Samhita every morning during the Diti's greeting.
It's only two, not three?
Two. I thought it's three, but the one in the middle isn't there.
Oh, so we just do the first and third?
I mean, there's one mantra in the middle which we don't chant. Venum kvanata nenangani yasya, but then Alola Chandra Kalasat we don't chant, actually.
Oh,
it's Govinda
Adi Purusha. Okay.
But whatever it is, so would it be... would it be... mantra upasana mayi or swarasiki meditation?
It's dependent upon your realization. So if you're on the platform of spontaneous devotional service to Krishna, then it would be the swarasiki. And if it's not, then it would be the mantra upasana mayi.
Mm.
Point is they're both transcendental. It's like there's two features of, you know, like Baladev has two features. You know, so you're going to have these things that you're talking about transcendental and more transcendental. It's like perfect, more perfect, most perfect. We generally tend to work, at least from the first world, that's kind of on the Western, you know, first world, is that if you're not first, you're last. You know.
That comes from Caesar.
Oh, really? He brought that up.
Yeah, that there's a proverb. He said, I would rather be first in the village than second in Rome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's also it's mentioned. That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's in I think Niti Shastra. It also explains Kshatriyas. A Kshatriya would rather be the king of a small village than working under somebody else.
Yeah.
That's why Duryodhana can't handle like that. But it said Brahmins, because they would rather be, you know, 50,000 of them serving under, you know, Maharaj Yudhishthir than, you know, being the main Brahmin under, you know, some small king who's not so outstanding.
Mm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. We learned it in the school.
Yeah, I never heard that one. Now it's really cool. That was really cool. It really brings out the nature of that Kshatriya kind of nature. But yes, so it's just about you have to be first. It's just like who got the gold. No one really asks who got the silver and bronze. You know, it means they may have a list. Okay, the country got, you know, 5 silver and 7 bronze, like that. But you want to like that. But you don't necessarily care who got it. But the gold, you want to know, okay, how many golds and who got them? You know, so it's just somehow another, that aspect. That then we'll take it that if it's not, you know, if it's not the top, then I'm not. So okay, you know, we just want love for Krishna. Okay, it has these two features of mantra upasana mayi and swarasiki. Well, I want swarasiki. You know, which if that's higher, then that's it. That's the one for me. So I'm doing that. You know, so no, it's not a matter. We're talking about getting there. You know, as it is now, we're just trying to hear the mantra. You know, let alone, you know, meditate. Because that's the thing, is from name comes form. It's not that you, it would be like, you, if you don't know something, you just know the name. But if you've actually seen the thing, then when you say the name, the form is there.
Yeah.
Right? But then if you've interacted, then you see qualities. And if you've been an associate, then you see the pastimes. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So, it's just a natural thing. So if you go to meditate on something and it doesn't stick, don't worry about it. It's just a matter of keep hearing, because hearing will be the basis. And then from there, the others will naturally come. You know, it's just like the example of sugar candy. If you have jaundice, it doesn't taste sweet. But it's the only medicine. You keep taking it, then slowly, slowly, then it becomes neutral. Have you ever had that sometimes? You know, you're not feeling well and you eat sugar and it doesn't taste sweet. It's not bitter, it's not sweet. It's just like, you know, this is not sweet. Everybody else is going, wow, this is like ridiculous. Who put the sugar in here? You're going, no, it's not sweet at all.
Yeah.
You know? And then at other times, you know, you eat it and then your sika stands up, you know, so it's like... So it's just a matter of, as we chant, we get the purification is there, that surrender to Krishna is there, Krishna reciprocates, and then one's able to be absorbed. This shloka conveys a twofold meaning. One meaning is that in the pastime attended with worship through the mantra consisting of 18 transcendental letters, transcendental words contained in that said mantra, being differently placed, make a manifestation of only one lila of Sri Krishna. As for example, Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Swaha. This is a hexagonal mantra consisting of 6 transcendental words, namely, 1. Krishnaya, 2. Govindaya, 3. Gopijana, 4. Vallabhaya, 5. Swa, 6. Ha. These 6 transcendental words, when placed juxtapositionally, indicate the mantra. The hexagonal great transcendental machinery is in this verse, or is in this wise. The principal seed, i.e., Kleem, is situated in the instrument as the central pivot. Anyone with an impression of such an instrument in his mind and concentrating his thought on such spiritual entities can attain, like Chandradvaja, to the knowledge of the cognitive principle. Right, we come to the point of understanding the spiritual potency. The word swa indicates Krishna. Kshetragya, i.e., one who is... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, the overall instrument. Okay. The word swa indicates kshetragya, i.e., means, in other words? In other words, one who is conversant with one's inner self.
I even expertise knowledge, in other words, there's a different...
Oh, that's a different one. Okay. Oh, that's on E.G.'s example.
Example.
Okay. One who is conversant with one's inner self, and the word ha indicates the transcendental nature. Okay. With one's inner self, how one's the living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, servant of Krishna. Then that can develop. So that's the basis of it. Then how what kind of servant, which way you want to serve, then that just develops as you advance. Then the meaning of the mantra has also been corroborated by Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas. The general meaning is that one who is desirous of entering into the esoteric pastimes of Krishna will have to practice this transcendental service along with the culture of the devotional knowledge relative to him. The meaning is that rasa is only the transcendental service of the central refuge, Sri Krishna, as predominating aspect of the Absolute. By one's ego as the spiritual maid of the predominated moiety of the Absolute Integer, attended with pure devotion in the shape of one's entire self-surrender. The pastime in Goloko, or in Gokula during the stage of devotional progress, is the meditative worship through the mantra. And during the stage of perfection, the pastimes manifest themselves as the unrestrained transcendental jubilations, right? So, in the stage of devotional process, it's going to be the mantra upasana mayi. Once you come to the stage of bhava and praying, then that's where the swarasiki is. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because too much has been placed due to influence from these kind of, you know, the bhavas around Mayapur and Navadvip and Vrindavan, then as if, means because you have sadhana bhakti and it has two aspects, the vaidhi and the rag. They take the rag as its own special practice rather than one is the rules and that's all you have because the mood is not there. Then the more advanced is you're following the rules and you have the mood, the spontaneous mood. But they take it the spontaneous mood is a separate practice. And so from this, then, it's not taken that spontaneous specifically means bhava. It can extend down, but the point is it's just like one steady in devotional service, but you see is that steadiness of those gopis in their spiritual forms, in the spiritual world, who are working, you know, in these various levels of shravana dasa, but hadn't come to the point of samadhi. Then that steadiness wasn't steady enough, you know. So it's just called because steadiness happened. He's been unsteady, right? He's practicing, but because of lack of purification, then sometimes it's better or not, or up and down, or you know his mentality, or sometimes he's more renounced, sometimes he's more into you know engaging the senses and different things like that. So but because it becomes prominent that he's stable. And whatever he's doing, you call it nishta. Right? When there's taste, then that now you're getting more of a glimmer. Because how will there be spontaneous if there's attraction to maya? So you can say some nishta that can be the beginning of it, but it's actually only a ruchi that you start to see, because a ruchi or the taste for that service. And so therefore, anything mundane just starts to wane. It's just not interesting anymore. You know, like the kid's been out in the backyard eating mud, and his mother gives him a sandesh or a rasgulla. He doesn't eat mud anymore. You know, so the like that, and then attachment will be more. So that's where you see the natural form of bhava, but very reduced in size. But below that, then you're seeing it's just that energy is there, but it hasn't come to its natural form yet. It's still progressing, you know, but it's still the power of bhava that makes it work. That's the natural nature of the living entity. It's that relationship of love between the living entity and Krishna. So then that's going to start from that platform, that neutral state of bhava. So if you go into the material world, then it will extend down because that's all the jiva has to work with. You can't work with something else. But it will be in its extended form, where it can adjust with the, where it's addressing the conditioned nature. And then when you're not doing devotional service, then that taste and everything, that comes, you know, that reflected, distorted kind of things. Like that. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes.
So I was thinking on this point that unless one understands the Vipralamba and Sambhog and appreciates that, and the Prakat and Aprakat manifestations are not fully understood, because what is the relation between them, and then why the Prakat manifestations on the earthly Goloka is synonymous to Aprakat manifestations and then what is the correlation? Once it's not understood, then the intensity is not the same. Basically, the gopis' experience the separation past tense are only during the prakrit past tense here.
Mm-hmm.
But without that experience, then that intensity is not at what they are tasting. And in the manifestive or non-manifestive, both past tense. So unless it's sambhog and vipralamba, both are understood or both are appreciated, the whole thing, and even seeing Vrindavan here, when we go to the dham, it's not full, because still we see a difference that, okay, it's Vrindavan, but I want to go to Goloka.
But it's the same place.
It's the same place, but why it's the same, it cannot be fully appreciated unless one sees that correlation from how the gopis see the correlation. So the whole aspect, that's why from the Gaudiya perspective, then it makes a complete sense and not.
Yeah, others will only be partial.
It's only.
Yeah, because you also see is that it's dwait, advait.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at the oneness, they're looking at the difference. There's two like separate things. They're not a synonymous. You know. So they acknowledge that you have a pastime where it's like their example of separation is Prema Sarovar.
Yeah.
That's the only one that
separation and union.
Yeah, they're together, but they think that they're not together. So what's the main point is that Radha and Krishna will be feeling separation, but the devotees watching won't.
Yeah.
So that's from what I can see is a prominent feature within that nimbarka, is the devotee doesn't want to feel that separation. Well, Radha and Krishna, if they want to taste those things, that's up to them. That's their pastimes. But it's not they're not into it.
I mean, maybe it's too bold, but according to what we see, there are many nimbarkas in ISKCON. They don't want to see separation. People really freak out.
Yeah.
When it goes into that intensity in the 10th canto, people just can't, not that they can't digest it, they just can't accept the idea of, this is wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's just leftover fragrances from the impersonalist. Because, just variety, that variety means they only want one thing. That's why it's saying the mantra pasadamayi. Then it's focused on that part that you like, and it's fine, because it's all part of the pastime, so it's great. But the point is there's more and different moods and different aspects. And so if you don't appreciate, just focus on the parts that you appreciate. And then, let it develop.
Yeah.
But yeah, because they're so worried that there's going to be, they here if there's separation they feel pain, so they don't want that pain, they want liberation. So basically you could say there's an attachment for liberation. They may not be so much attachment to karma, but there's attachment to liberation. And so it's just a matter of time of associating and serving and all that, and then slowly that attachment will go down, and then these things will be appreciated.
Yeah, the difficulty that we've seen even in studying Bhagavatam, certain cantos even. People just deny. They just skip, like a second canto, because fifth canto, because it doesn't make sense. Or even those pastimes in separation, when it goes into that intensity, when Krishna leaves in Akrura, and people just skip it. They just deny it. I don't want to deal with it. This day isn't there. It doesn't matter. But I don't want to deal with it. And then Uddhav Gita.
Yeah, and then like also that. Probably ninth doesn't feature high on people's list.
Ninth.
I mean, so you can read it. It's interesting stories.
Yeah, it's stories.
But they're not necessarily.
Then it's, you can, because it's short. It's just, like you're saying, it's new, maybe not that new, but it's just stories they go. But otherwise, people just can't handle it.
Yeah.
Oh. also enough.
Yeah, so the just if there's more hearing and chanting and associating, then these things will become more prominent. So that's the point, is that management won't solve this problem unless management means you're organizing that there's, you know, better quality of hearing, chanting, associating and all that. That's where you're applying it. Then it will help. But it's not that fabulous management and everybody's like, you know, rolling on the ground in ecstasy. I don't, because I'm not sure that, what was his name? Kafka was overly impressed with the smooth working of the bureaucracy.
Why Kafka?
That's just one of the names, or Orwell, or Huxley. None of them were over. And in there, it's the emphasis is on management, and management is supreme. Management's God. You see, like in communism, it's the management's the supreme. Even though everybody's equal,
yeah.
But those who are managing are more equal than the others.
Yeah.
You know, so that whole thing is there. They take it that they're supreme. And so if management is there, then they're the top, you know, hence the, you know, how you say the wife of Lord Shiva, you know, as an acronym. Yes.
Also, that's why one devotee said in one discussion that Prabhupada said that many of my disciples will be demigods.
Yeah.
Because of that focus on that Jnana and Kriya Shakti.
Yeah. I think there is this one comment where Prabhupada said, you know, many of the disciples will go to the heavenly planets.
Yeah.
You know, that means then they come back and then they're born into, you know, religious or wealthy families and like that. You know, as Krishna mentioned, Gita. And then, you know, then there'll be a percentage that will go back to Godhead or a percentage that will be born into a devotee family.
Or as we read about being in Brahmaloka, some of them become primordial demigods. Some of them stay, go back. Some of them directly go back. It's like there are different options.
So many options. They want options. Right? We're always talking about options. Yeah, here are the options. You know, taste all the options. Maybe that's why they go through this. I think it's like 14 levels. You know, 14 lifetimes to get. Because then you're completely convinced. Yeah, we're happy with being in Vaikuntha. You know, we're not worried about anywhere else. Already.
No problem with management.
Yeah.
Then you can go there.
Yeah, because you see also in, you know, Dwarka, Mathura, Vaikuntha, then that element, the Kshatriya culture is kind of like prominent, but in Vrindavan it's not. Vaishya is just an excuse, you know, because then you have cows, and you know, Krishna likes the cows. You have plenty of dairy products, he loves, that's his favorite, and you get to go out into the forest. You know, well, the Kshatriyas, unless they're hunting or something, they don't go out in the forest. But he can go out every day.
Also, the interesting feature of management is that the best managers in the universe are ladies. You know, Durga here, Purnamasi up there, you know, Vrinda, Lalita, I mean, they're all ladies. None of them are men.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it means if you're looking in management for absolute control, then it's got to be a woman.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Like that. I mean, today we can talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Then when you get back, what was that comment? Okay. Yes. Yeah, so that's the thing. The pastime in Goloka or in Kokula during the stage of devotional progress is the meditative worship through the mantra, another mantra upasana mai. So it's during the stage of devotional progress, you know, when you're doing the shraddha to prema, when you're in the progress part. And during the stage of perfection means bhava, right? And then premas, the positive, right? Perfection means you're not on the material platform, you're on the spiritual platform, so that's perfection. Prema is never referred to as perfection. It's always this stage of bhava. The pastimes manifest themselves as the unrestrained transcendental jubilations, and that then from there it goes. Means, or we could say on the stage of perfection. Means you're there at that point. If that's the farthest of your realization, you're on bhava. Otherwise, it's the platform on which prema and you know priti is expressed. So that dham, like I was mentioned before, Baladeva, it has that feature. Infinite spiritual manifestation, infinite accommodating space for insentient gross things. Unless also it's mentioned here, infinite spiritual manifestation means the spiritual world, and infinite accommodating space for insentient gross things means the material world. Transcendental entity, Bali, has these two aspects. Remember what we were saying before? Did you ever come across that? Either in the text or in a note in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, where it says that this quality of Baladev is there, that the material world manifests, you know, expands from him, but he doesn't manifest that mood, though that quality is there. It's only manifest in Mahanarayana. Because it gives the name of the quality.
I don't remember.
That's, yeah.
Or maybe I didn't
get there yet.
Get there yet.
Yeah, so just keep your eye out for that.
Yeah,
because I've been trying to find that
word
for the last whatever it is.
Yeah.
Since we did the class, you know, you do the class, oh yeah, it's right there, and then you go, a few weeks you look back, you can never find it.
Yeah.
Even if it's on the same page, you'll look, where is it? That's why it's self-revealed. Scripture is not because you turn the page, therefore you have to know, it's you have to deserve.
Like I tried it a few times, Maharaj, but recently once I was reading about the linga aspect of the Lord, the expansion through, whether you're referring to that or if it's exactly
might be the word, it's just a particular word that Baladev has, but you don't see it in Baladev. It's only then in his expansions, then, you know, specifically you see it in Karana Daksha Vishnu. That's where it's like fully manifest, because he's the Paramama of the Mahatattva. Right? But then Sankarshan is his source, so then it has to be there. Then it goes back to it goes back, you know, like that. But it's mentioning the point is that that's where it's from. So it's basically, it would mean that, I guess, the aspect of the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. So if they're in their natural state, then it's the spiritual world. If they're in their reflected state, that'll be the material world.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's amazing how the words just, you know, you see one thing, but then after we went a few other pages and those had even more. Around the pericarp is a wall with spires like stamens. In the place are also various divisions and bowers for the gopis, which are like petals. Brahma Samhita 5.4. Udriti, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The transcendental Gokul is shaped like the lotus. The eternal world is like a hexagonal figure, in that the entities Sri Radha Krishna, appearing in the form of a mantra consisting of 18 transcendental letters, are centered. The propagating manifestations emanating from the chit potency are present there with the said entities as the center. Sri Radha Krishna is the primary cause of the seed itself. Gopal Tapani says Omkara signifies the all-powerful Gopala and his potency, and Kleem is the same as Omkara. Hence, Kambija, or the primary cause of all love, is connotated of the entities Sri Radha Krishna, Brahma Samhita 5.4, Purport. This Gokula is surrounded by an astonishing square area called Swetadweep or Goloka. This is divided into four parts, which are the abodes of four Vishnu forms, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumna. Goloka is endowed with the four goals of human endeavor and with the methods to attain them. It is guarded by obstructions in the form of 10 spears in the 10 directions, including up and down. It is endowed with the 8 treasures and 8 cities. It is surrounded by the 10 protectors of the directions and the form of their mantras, as well as the 4 Vedas. It is resplendent with astonishing Shaktis. Brahma Samhita 5.5. So you see, everything's coming from Goloka. Mm-hmm. Like that. And point is you have the centers, that's just the outside. And so you have the lotus, and then the center is the whirl of the lotus. Like that's the pericarp.
Yeah.
It's the whirl.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, yeah.
So have you seen the lotus when they open?
Oh, yeah.
When they open, is that just stands on its own, right? It's this little triangle there. And then around that comes all those filaments, you know, that I mentioned.
Yeah.
And then in the leaves, then are all, that's where all the gopis are, you know. So.
Also, all the coverings here mentioned, if we relate to the 7 avaranas, then make perfect sense. The 3rd avarana is the Vedas and other things.
Okay.
So. And the 4th one is all the weapons.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, because it mentioned again the weapons.
The 10 tridents.
Yeah, the spears and then the tridents.
Yeah. So then
it's very clear about Shankha Chakra Gada.
So then they're all, that's all the avaranas go out from there. Mm-hmm. So basically, you can say it's Goloka is the thing, everything's expanding from there. So it means it's all expanding from Gokula, which means it's expanding from Radha and Krishna.
Yeah.
It's just everything's coming out from there, and then you get all the realms. Udriti, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Primarily, Gokula is the seat of transcendental love and devotion. Hence, Jamuna, Sri Govardhana, Sri Radha Kunda, etc., of the terrestrial Rajabhumi lie within Gokula. Again, all the majesties of Vaikuntha are manifested there, extending in all directions. The pastimes are the 4 propagating manifestations. Wow. That's an impressive report. Of the 4 propagating manifestations. Okay, let's go back. The pastimes of the 4 propagating manifestations are all there in their proper places. The Paravyoma, Vaikuntha, has got its extension from the display of the 4 propagating manifestations. Right? So then you have Vasudeva, Shankar, Shankar, Prajumna, Nadi, Ruda, in the square around, you know, because the yantra has that square. So then in the cardinal directions they'll be, and so they're the propagating manifestations, and they're in their places. So the Paravyoma Vaikuntha has got its extensions from the display of the 4 propagating men. So expanding from those 4 is then how you get the whole of the Vaikuntha.
So Vaikuntha is basically outside of the mandala of Goloka.
Goloka, yes.
Okay.
Yes. But it's still all based on Goloka. It's all extending from Goloka. So it's not it doesn't have any other source. Yes.
The 2nd avarana. The 1st avarana is that this is the square of the 4 expansions. Then the 2nd avarana is the 24 forms of Vishnu. And all Vaikuntha is that variety of those 24 forms.
Right.
So it's in the 2nd avarana already, the whole Vaikuntha. And then that is guarded by 1st the Vedas and spiritual Durga, and there are some others. And then the 4th one comes all the weapons. So even before reaching the Vedas, then the weapons already are obstructed. And the 5th are all then the demigods. All are like the 7th avarana, 5th and 6th or something else. So, actually before reaching them, there are many levels we need to pass through, even after crossing the
Viraja.
But Viraja, will it be mentioned? Because that's the abode of Shiva. He's there. So will it mention as an avarana?
The last avarana, then that's where one comment is given that when we say the Shambhu, he is that in the 7th avarana.
Oh, I see.
So he is after the, when he crossed the Viraja,
that's this side.
Transition part.
Because that side, Mahavishnu, he's Vishnu, he's Brahma, he's Shiva. Because Hiranyagarbha and Sadashiva, they're features of him. Because it mentions in the TLC that the Lord in Vaikuntha, he means, you know, I am God. I'm the Lord of, you know, I controller and Lord of all the energies. That's his mood. But the Purusha avatars, it's a slightly different mood. You have that aspect, but I'm also the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So as the creator, that's Hiranyagarbha. As the destroyer, that's Sadashiva. And as the maintainer, that's Vishnu.
Yeah. Also there, in that very comment, it's mentioned that there are two forms. One is whatever is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, that is referring to the from the Sankarsana. And then this Sadashiva is on that last avarana. So Shiva has that both aspects, two features.
Yeah, so there's two. That's why in Dvaitacharya you see him as Mahavishnu or as Sadashiva.
Yeah.
But it'll be that aspect, because the point is if you're taking the Sadashiva, then Mahavishnu, but that means he's dealing with the material world. Because it's controlled by that ignorance, that false ego. That's how everything is working. That's why it's the Mahatattva. Otherwise, if people didn't have that false ego, you know, it'd just be another feature of the spiritual world.
Mm. Right. Also, that refers to not the Mahavishnu as the Purusha, but in the first four expansions, then the Shankarsana, he is that Sadashiva.
Okay. Well, you also have in the Hiranyagarbha Shukta, because Hiranyagarbha means where he's, you know, means from there as everything is coming. So you're talking about that aspect of the Lord, the Creator. You also have it deals with the Prajumna and that. So it's a prayer to Prajumna as the universal form. But in all the mantras, if you see him, if you see the translation, you would think they're talking about Lord Shiva.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not Brahma, Shiva?
Yeah. Because he's the one that controls the place. Brahma's the engineer. But how people, their mentality on that's controlled by the ignorance of Shiva.
Right, by false ego.
Yeah. You know, and then the practical management is done by his wife.
And she's good.
Yeah, she's good. She's, yeah. But that's interesting, because then you also have the original Durga.
Yeah.
The spiritual, because that will be the feature that goes between. Because Purnamasi will be there in Vrindavan. But then as this feature, the transcendental, that will be the feature that shifts, you know, or like Rama Devi. That's where the feature where it shifts.
No? Yeah, there's a story I just heard recently. How Purnamasi appeared in Vrindavan. She's coming from Ujjain.
Mm, yes,
she's
yes.
From that side. And then because Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mayi, they didn't have children for a long, long, like Nanda Baba was over 90 years old. And still.
Okay.
So all the Brijvasis, they came to her and asked her blessing. She appeared with Madhu Mangal, and she's wearing like an ascetic clothes and stuff. So they prayed, and she said, yes, I will fulfill your prayers. I will fulfill your desire. And then, actually, you know, Krishna and Balaram were born. So this is how Brijabasi totally followed whatever she says from that incident. Then she gained their trust completely, because she actually, you know, from that point of view, manifested the thing, and you know, that the whole pastime unfolds. I had another question I just forgot. Oh, yeah, it wasn't a question. It's just insight how what we learned in the second year in Brahma Samhita. Now the 12th year makes actual sense.
Yeah, now
makes actual sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I did it four times in a row.
Brahma Samhita.
But now all the intricacies and all the, you know, subtleties. Now I can appreciate, because usually we rush through the first portion of the you know, of the chapter,
mm-hmm.
and then go into, you know, into the Adi Purusham prayers, which is, you know, it is the main, but now the introduction makes a lot of sense, and it's super esoteric, and it doesn't, like here, no way it's described, you know, the actually the apricot and Goku, because
mm-hmm.
Bhagavatam is bone lila, but then we have to understand how to match them, you know, like Prabhu explained. Otherwise, yeah, it doesn't make much sense actually.
Yeah, I think it's a revealed knowledge where Krishna is pleased with the devotion, then it makes sense. It starts to make sense. You know, so, and that mercy means it's through the acharyas because of their blessing. You know, like Prabhupada said, I made your fortune.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who knows when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada went out and made it happen.
Those last verses, Shriya Kantana Kanda, those are all describing the Aprakat Leela.
Yeah, that's why it sounds like a Swarasiki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's the whole range, basically. It's a summary of everything which was said before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.